Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my good buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down UFC 244 and also PFL this weekend. But man, I can't wait to talk about UFC 244 with you, Cole. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, Cole. What a card, man. What a card. Just like initial thoughts on this card from top to bottom.
Well, it's a great card. I think it's one of the better cards they've done this year. But then that whole Diaz thing happened. I'm like, oh God, this card, like, how are they going to save it? Because really, this whole event is the BMF title. Like, it's a stacked card. But if you lost the main event, you couldn't do Till Gassman as the main event of pay-per-view. But with the fight still on, like, it has to be one of the best main events, I think, this year. And one of the hardest to pick as well.
Yeah, no, I'm with you completely on that one. I should mention, if anyone has any questions, throw them in the chat and we'll answer them after we break down UFC 244. Man, let's get right into it, okay? So we got 12 fights in the card, 12 great fights. Honestly, one of the better cards of the year just based on the matchups themselves. Like, you look at the odds, Cole, there's like one or two fights over 200, minus 200. The Burgos fight and the Gastelum fight. Everything else is with like in the minus 100 numbers for the favorite. So that just shows what kind of matchmaking this is. What a great card. We'll start with the bottom, work our way up, just as we always do. First fight of the night, featherweight bout between Julio Arce and Hakeem Dawodu. Opening odds had Hakeem Dawodu minus 165, Arce plus 125. Right now we have Dawodu minus 130, Arce plus 110. Who's your pick?
I like Hakeem Dawodu here. Obviously, the last fight, or not the last fight, the one for Bocknick, it was a split decision. It was kind of, a lot of people were impressed with his performance. He ended up having that double shoulder surgery, and he looked really good in his last fight. He had the knockout win. Arce had that good win over Julian Arosa. They're both coming up knockout wins in their last fight. I just like Hakeem Dawodu here. I think he's the better striker. I think he has more power. He's the more technical guy. I don't know if he'll be able to finish Arce. Arce is a tough guy, but I like Hakeem Dawodu to win here, and I think it's probably going to be a decision win.
I think this fight's super, super tough to call, personally. I think both guys are very talented. They match up really well with each other. I do give a slight edge to Dawodu as far as the striking goes, especially the technical striking, but man, Arce striking is very good too. He had that nice knockout win by head kick in his last fight. The Moraes fight, I think, showed that he's not an elite guy as far as the striking goes, but he still was pretty competitive there. He's looked great in the UFC, man. 3-1 in the UFC, beat Dan Ige, beat Daniel Tamer, looked really good in those fights. Dawodu, I think, you know, even though he has the same record, 3-1, I think he struggled a little bit and hasn't looked as good as we all expected. Lost to Danny Henry, kind of a freak guillotine choke, and then he had the wins over Arnett and Bochniak by decision, which weren't too impressive. But the win over Horry was pretty impressive. I don't think that guy's too good, though. That's why I'm very cautious about this fight, because I don't feel like that showed anything we didn't know about Dawodu. We already know he was a good striker. We already know that he had good Muay Thai, and his kicks were really nasty. So we already knew that about him, and he beat a guy that I think is not even UFC caliber in Horry. Having said that, I still believe in this guy. I still think he's a very dangerous guy and very good striking. I've always liked Dawodu. I got to keep believing in him. I think he'll grind out a decision here, Cole, but I think it's a super close fight. And I'm not surprised the odds actually ended up very close, because this is a close fight. And I think, honestly, by Saturday, it could be a pick'em, if not having Arce as the favorite, because I think it's that close of a fight. All right, next up, we have a welterweight bout between Chance Rencounter and Lyman Good. The odds actually open as a pick'em at minus 120 each. Right now we have Lyman Good minus 130, Rencounter plus 110. So slightly lean towards Good right now in the odds. Who do you like here?
I like Lyman Good here. I talked both of them. And Lyman Good, obviously, his last fight was disappointing to Damian Maia. And he didn't really tell anyone, but he tore his bicep in like 2 weeks before. And he basically said he couldn't pull out. This is the biggest fight he's had of his career. And like, he knew the UFC would be mad if he pulled out. So he had to stay in it. He didn't look good at all. He couldn't pull the trigger on his same punches. With Rencounter, Rencounter's wrestling has been super impressive. He has that win over Kyle Stewart, dominated him. And Ismail Nardiev was a really good win. He was a huge underdog there. The key is for Lyman Good is to keep this fight on the feet, because I think he'll have the striking advantage no matter what. He has the power to knock people out. It's going to be interesting to see if Rencounter gets this fight down to the ground. If he does, I think it's going to go Rencounter's way, but I think Good will be able to keep it on the feet for the majority of it. Edge out a decision win.
Yeah, really good fight here too. Another close one. Lyman Good's a guy I've liked for a long time. He was in Bellator, obviously. He did pretty well in Bellator. He's actually been in the UFC. This is his fifth year in the UFC, which is crazy because he barely fought. He's only had four fights. He's had that USADA issue. He's had a lot of injuries. He's barely fought. He has looked good at times, but the last fight with Lyman wasn't very good. I wasn't impressed at all. You're saying he has an injury, fair enough, but I've been much more impressed with Rencounter. The fact that Maia was able to get his back that quickly makes me very worried here. Rencounter's got very good wrestling, good submissions as well. The guy's underrated. I've underrated him. I picked against him in all of his fights in the UFC, but I'm not going to do it here after that last win against Nardiev, who I think is a very good prospect, and Chance Roncounter dominated him with his wrestling. I think Roncounter is going to be able to use his wrestling here and win this fight, either by decision or maybe by submission. I'll lean towards Chance Roncounter as an underdog. It's close enough where I personally probably wouldn't make a bet on it, but I think as an underdog, maybe there's some slight value here on Roncounter. It's just a close fight, though, because Good definitely has a striking advantage, and if he keeps it standing, he probably wins. Next up, we have a women's flyweight bout between Caitlin Chookagian and Jennifer Maia. Opening odds for this one had Chookagian minus 140, Maia plus 100. Right now, Chookagian minus 160, Maia plus 140. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is a really interesting fight. Obviously, I think the winner of this is probably going to be fighting Shevchenko next. I'd have to think with Maya's going to have the size advantage. She came overweight against Bonferri. If she misses weight again, that's going to be it. And if she wins and misses weight again, I think that's going to be bad for her case to get a title shot. But I think Chookagian striking and just her technical, just the way to outpoint fighters, like we saw against Caldwell, like we've seen in the past. She almost did it against Eye, just the outpointing. I think that's what she's going to do to Maya. I think she's just going to outpoint Maya and edge out a decision win here.
Yeah, I actually have the same call as you here. I think Chookagian by decision is a very likely outcome in this fight. I think it's going to be a very competitive fight. I think Maya's pretty tough to finish, obviously. Chookagian, I just think, is a little bit sharper at the striking. And I expect her to outpoint her. I'm not expecting a slang fight. I think this fight's going to be one of the worst fights in the card, personally. I don't know. I just think Chookagian, she has no power in her strikes. That's the problem with her. No power at all. And she makes that grunting noise a lot. It really helps with the judges, but it's not too fun to watch, in my opinion. Maya's, you know, like I said, tough, and she has a lot of experience, but she also doesn't have much finishing power either. So I'd be surprised if this fight ends inside the distance goal. I'm just looking at the odds. The fight going to the decision is minus 400, minus 410, actually. Not too much value there. Chookagian by decisions minus 110, so maybe you take a shot at that, but it's probably better off just going with Chookagian by just straight up at minus 160. I think she wins this fight most of the time. All right, next up we have a heavyweight bout between Andrei Arlovski and Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Very interesting fight here. Jairzinho Rozenstruik minus 170, Arlovski plus 130 were the opening odds, and right now we have Rozenstruik minus 155, Arlovski plus 135 is the underdog. Who's your pick here?
This is an interesting fight because obviously Rozenstruik has looked really good as late, but he hasn't fought anyone as no. Like in his UFC fights, he knocked out Junior Albini and Alan Crowder. Both aren't in the UFC roster anymore. I know Alan Crowder, he isn't. But Arlovski, UFC, he's a tough guy. But again, I think I'm just fading Arlovski, and I like Rozenstruik. Rozenstruik's power has really impressed me. He's undefeated. He hasn't fought anyone as no other than like the two UFC guys. Arlovski, he showed a lot in the Rothwell fight. I thought Rothwell was going to beat him, but I still can't get past that losing streak he had the fourth straight fight. So I think Rozenstruik wins this, and I think there's a good chance he can knock out Arlovski as well.
Yeah, there's definitely an edge and experience in Arlovski's favor. I mean, the guy has 46 fights compared to only 8 for Rozenstruik. That's a huge difference, obviously. Really big difference. I apologize for my dogs, guys. Sorry about that. The difference in the – give me a second here, guys. I have to get the dogs quiet. Cole, just talk about this fight a little bit more. One second.
Yeah, with Arlovski, obviously, the Rothwell fight, he showed a lot. His chin held up pretty well. I think a lot of people thought Rothwell was going to knock out Arlovski, and you saw Arlovski really grind out a win. I think there's a chance maybe he takes it down to the ground. Rozenstruik obviously comes from that kickboxing background. He's a good striker. I think the striking advantage has to go to Rozenstruik. I would be surprised if Arlovski just clinched like in the Rothwell fight and just grinded out a win that way either, though, because Rozenstruik's that kickboxing background, so...
Yeah, sorry about that, Cole. There was someone at the door delivering a package. My dogs went crazy. Sorry about that. As far as this fight goes, like I said, the experience, obviously, Arlovski, 46 fights. I mean, that's a lot of fights. Rozenstruik has 8, so that's a big edge. But I pick against Arlovski every fight, Cole. I don't trust his chin. I know he looked good against Rothwell. I just don't trust this guy anymore. Rozenstruik has looked really good in the UFC. Back-to-back knockouts over Albini and Crowder. Like you said, probably two of the worst guys in that division, but... still very impressive. I think this guy's pretty good. Rozenstruik by knockout is my pick. I don't want to overthink this one. I'm just checking the odds. Rozenstruik inside distance minus 115. I mean, I think that's a good chance of that happening. But again, when the odds are that tight, you might as well just go with it at the money line minus 155. All right. This fight's really interesting, too. Middleweight bout between Brad Tavares and Edmund Shahbazyan. Opening off for this one had Shahbazyan minus 245, Tavares plus 175. Right now, we have Shahbazyan minus 120, Tavares plus 100. So, a lot of action coming in on the underdog, Brad Tavares here. I'm curious to hear what your thoughts on that are, Cole.
I really like Edmund Shahbazyan in this fight. Everyone keeps on talking about Macy Barber breaking John Jones' record. I don't know why people are talking about Edmund Shahbazyan. If he wins this fight, he's top 10. He's only 21 years old. He turns 22 in a month. Like, I think he still has another year to beat John Jones' record. And I think if he wins this, he's top 10, gets another fight, top 5. I think he's two, three fights away from fighting for the title. I think he has a shot at beating that record. I'm really high on Shahbazyan. I was worried about him coming to the UFC, especially that Darren Stewart fight where you only won by split decision. But since then, the quick win over Charles Byrd, the quick win over Jack Martian. Jack Martian win showed a lot. Like, he showed a lot of his ground game. Brad Tavares, I know his last fight went the distance to Israel Adesanya, but that was in July of 2018. Just the layoff scares me. It's been a long time. He's had a lot of injuries. Shahbazyan's been fresh. He's been fighting often. I think Shahbazyan wins this fight, and I think he can honestly finish Tavares as well.
I don't understand why moving into Tavares' favor. I know the guy has a lot of experience. He's tough. He's durable. Cole, I think this might be the best bet in the card. Shahbazyan minus 120. Are you kidding me? Like, that's a steal, in my opinion. 10-0, 21 years old. 21 is so young. Looked incredible in UFC. Darren Stewart, that's a huge win looking back. Darren Stewart looks great now. Charles Byrd, Jack Martian, two veterans, look great. He's finished everyone except for Darren Stewart in his career. He is fantastic. He's young. He's getting better. I think this kid's a future champ at 185, man. I really believe in this guy. I think he's amazing. Tavares is a very good fighter, a lot of experience. He's only 31, so he's actually younger than you probably expect, considering he's been in the UFC this long. But I think his chin can get caught, touched at times, Cole. I think, you know, he's obviously a grinder, got good wrestling, but I think that Shahbazyan can just finish him. I think he can touch his chin and knock him out. I like Edmund Shahbazyan, man. Actually, the odds on him winning inside distance are plus 230, so I think there's a good value there because I think he finishes his fight. But sorry, I was just going to say minus 120 is a steal. What are you going to say?
Well, I think even if you take Shahbazyan straight up and then take the prop inside the distance, even like do a double play on him.
I mean, you can't parlay a prop with...
No, but like do it into separate bets.
Yeah, you could do that, sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, I think they both win. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I guess he could win decision. Like, he did beat Stewart by decision. But for the most part, this guy finishes his fights, man. And I would assume he does knock out Tavares. I think we're both on the Shahbazyan hype train, man. I really think this guy could be a future champ. You got to, like, look at fighters sometimes and be like, yeah, this guy is a future champion. This is the one guy in this division right now that I think really could hold the belt one day. I'm all in on Edmund Shahbazyan. I know you are too, Cole. We're both high on this guy. All right, next up we have a featherweight bout between Shane Burgos and Emakwan Amerkani. Interesting fight here. Opening odds had Burgos minus 185, Amerkani plus 145. Right now you have Burgos minus 250, Amerkani plus 210. Who's your pick?
I think Shane Burgos wins this fight. I think he wins it rather easily. I don't know why this fight's made. Shane Burgos is the top 15 guy. His last win's his split decision over Cub Swanson. But I think the judges didn't know which one was Swanson, which one was Burgos, because that was a clear. I think he won all three rounds. Macron Amerikani, obviously, his last two wins, split over Jason Knight and a submission over Chris Fishgold. He has should have a ground game advantage, but I think Burgos is strong enough to be able to keep his fight on the feet, use his strike and pick apart Amerikani. I don't know if he'll be able to finish him, but I think it's going to be a very easy win for Burgos.
I like Burgos here, too. I don't know. Amerikani, he looked good in his last fight, don't get me wrong. And honestly, he does have a good record in the UFC, but I don't know. I think he's kind of a limited fighter, especially against a guy like Shane Burgos. I think Burgos is one of the better guys at 145. He did lose to Cater by knockout, but other than that, he's looked amazing, Cole. The win over Swanson, it was a split on paper, but let's be honest, that was a unanimous decision. I don't know why one judge had it for Swanson. Really bad call by the judge here. But I just been more impressed with him, man. More well-rounded, better striking. I think just as good of a ground game. Maybe Amerikani is a slightly better ground game, I guess. Got to give him that. But I just think Burgos is more well-rounded. He should win this fight. I think he's the biggest favorite in the card right now. Yeah, he is. So people agree with that. I like Burgos here. I think he probably wins the decision, Nicole. Amerikani's a tough dude. He's never been finished. And I don't probably see that happening here. I guess it's possible. But yeah, Burgos by decision seems likely. And the odds on that, Burgos by decision, minus 115. So maybe that's the way you go with this. But yeah, I think Burgos wins. All right, next up, getting to the really good fights now. Corey Anderson against Johnny Walker. Interesting light heavyweight bout. Opening odds, Johnny Walker minus 195. Corey Anderson plus 155 right now. We have Johnny Walker minus 165. Corey Anderson plus 145. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I see this going one, two ways. I think Johnny Walker is going to knock out Anderson in the first or second. Or Anderson's going to use his wrestling and grind out a decision win. We have yet to see Johnny Walker be tested against a wrestler. Misha Serkinov was kind of that first wrestler he was going to face, and then he knocked him out so quick. Anderson's been knocked out before. He has his chin has been put into question. And this is a fight I don't know why Anderson was so reluctant to take fights. He wanted the title shot, turned down Gustafson, a top guy, and turned down Luke Rockhold. Then he accepts Johnny Walker. Like, I know he's managed by Ali. I think that was kind of a mistake on their part. I think he should have taken that Rockhold fight. He's a bigger name than Walker at this point, I think. But I like Johnny Walker here. I think he'll knock out Anderson, but I think the value's on Corey Anderson because we don't know Walker's wrestling enough. I'd personally stay away from betting this fight, but I think Walker will knock out Anderson.
Yeah, Walker hasn't been tested in the wrestling. There's no doubt about that. And the guy's not unbeatable. I mean, people, I think, feel like this guy's invincible. I think he's, don't get me wrong, I think he's amazing, but he has lost a few times in his career. I've seen him get knocked out. Johnny Walker's awesome, though. I mean, when I was in Brazil, I had dinner with this guy and his manager, and this guy was just nothing but a class act. And we talked about his losses. I was asking him about, like, what happened in that fight. He just kind of sucked. I got knocked out in 18 seconds. There's that. You can find that fight, jungle fight against Henrique Silva. It's not a good performance by him. But since then, Coley hasn't lost. And I feel like just his confidence, man. Confidence alone is so big in this game. And I think the confidence is going to help him here. He's knocked his last three opponents out in the first round. Ledet, Browntree, and Sirkunov. Super impressive. Corey Anderson's been knocked out a couple times. His wrestling is really good. If he does get the fight to the ground, grinds out a decision, I would not be shocked. But I think Johnny Walker knocks him out. My pick's Johnny Walker by KO, man. I think he does it really early in the first round. Walker inside distance, minus 110. I mean, maybe take a look at that, but I think he wins by knockout. Also, I don't know if you saw that interview with Corey Anderson. He said the UFC told him that he's like, oh, I want a title shot or whatever. And they were like, well, you have to put in more exciting fights. And he said, I'm a grinder. That's what I do. I just win fights by decision. I'm just going to keep winning fights by decision until you guys give me a title shot. It's like, dude, like, I don't think he gets it, man. You got to put on exciting fights. Listen, he's getting his hand raised. Good for him. The win over Glover Teixeira is a really good win looking back. But you got to finish fights. You can't just grind up decisions like Corey Anderson's doing if you expect a title shot. Whereas I think Johnny Walker with that style, Cole, he could jump in a title cage with a win here. If he knocks out Corey Anderson in the first round with like a head kick or something, he might be able to jump past Dominic Reyes and John Joe's excited. What are you going to say?
Would you be surprised, though, if, say, Walker got another first-round flying knee if he was fighting Jones next? Oh,
how could you be surprised? I mean, yes, Dominic Reyes probably does have a slightly better resume at this point, but, I mean, Walker's just as equally impressive, in my opinion. I wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't either, obviously, right?
No, I think if Walker finishes this fight, I think he gets the title shot.
Yeah, he absolutely could. I think there's a very good chance. So we'll see what happens. Definitely an interesting fight. Again, this wrestling's been untested, so it makes it very intriguing, but I think Johnny Walker wins. All right, let's get to the main card now. Really, really good main card here, Cole. First fight on the main card, Kevin Lee, one of your buddies, taking on Gregor Gillespie. Gillespie, open minus 130. Lee, open minus 110 right now. Gillespie, minus 175. Lee, plus 155. So the public believes in Gregor Gillespie. Who do you think is going to win this fight?
I like Kevin Lee as an underdog here. I think Gregor obviously is undefeated for a reason. He's really good. Really good wrestler. Probably maybe him and Khabib are probably the best two wrestlers at lightweight. But Kevin Lee's wrestling is no joke. And I think working with George St. Pierre, working with Firas Khabib, is going to make him a lot better fighter. I think he'll be able to keep this fight on the feet for the most part. This is a huge test for Gillespie. Gillespie is unknown. Like, his best win is probably Yancy Medeiros, who should be a featherweight, and he's fighting that lightweight. But I think Kevin Lee back to lightweight kind of scares me, the weight cut. But I think Lee has more ways to win than Gregor Gillespie in this fight. And as an underdog, I like Kevin Lee to win here by decision.
I like Gregor Gillespie, man. I think this guy is incredible. You talk about prospects when 155. I know he's a little bit older, I guess, for a prospect, 32. But I think this kid, I shouldn't say kid, he's older than me. This guy is a future champ. I really do. I think he's going to be in title contention very shortly. If he beats Kevin Lee especially, he'll jump right up into that top 10. This guy is tremendous. He's looked amazing in the UFC. His finishing ability from the ground is absolutely phenomenal. And I think his striking is getting a little better, but that wrestling is just so good. And the cardio, I think, is a huge advantage here in this fight. It's Kevin Lee. I haven't been impressed with Kevin Lee lately, Cole. The Barboza fight was amazing. But other than that, he's looked really just sluggish lately. The RDA fight at 170 looked terrible in that fight. His cardio was not good. I picked him there. I thought he'd win that fight, Cole. I was very disappointed in that performance by him. Moving back down to lightweight, a weight class where he struggled to make weight numerous times in the past. I just don't see it going well, especially against a guy with the cardio of Gregor Gillespie. Give me Gregor Gillespie, man. I think he grinds on a decision here. Maybe gets a stoppage because that's how he finishes a lot of his fights, but I think probably a decision here. I like Gregor Gillespie quite a bit.
With Lee, too, I think his cardio will be better, too, that it's a three-round because he's been fighting five rounds for a while. But I don't know. With the RDA fight, mid-third round to fourth round, which the fourth round won't be an option here. But, like, I don't know. He, if he gasses against Gillespie, like, I think it's over for him.
I mean, if Kevin Lee loses his fight, you got to wonder what's next. I don't know if the UFC would cut him because he's still young enough that he can improve. But Cole, at that point, like, you got to wonder what they would do with him. And if he does get released, I think PFL would be a great spot for Kevin Lee. I should mention that. He's the biggest guy. They do a lot of shows there. Makes a lot of sense. But yeah, we'll see what happens here. Maybe I'm wrong. I know you're picking the dog here. Fair enough. I got a couple dogs I'm going to pick in the next couple fights. But yeah, I just like Gillespie. I like everything about this guy. This guy's amazing. I've been impressed with him since I saw him in this first fight, and he's been nothing but phenomenal ever since. All right, next up, heavyweight bout between Derek Lewis and Blagoy Ivanov. Opening odds, Derek Lewis -170, Ivanov +130. The odds have flipped. Ivanov is the favorite, -125. Lewis +105. Who's your pick?
I like Blagoy Ivanov. I think Derek Lewis has one way to win, and it's going to be a knockout. Ivanov's never been knocked out in his career before. I think Ivanov's pressure, his cardio. I know Ivanov doesn't have a whole lot of big wins in the UFC, but the wins he has are like good wins. He looked impressive in them. I think his striking, he doesn't let off his striking. And something else that he hasn't used yet, which I think could be a factor, is he's a world champion in Sambo, and he trains with Khabib, with DC, with Kane all the time. I think wrestling could come in a factor in this fight. We've seen Lewis give up his bag against Cormier. We've seen him be taken down before. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a fight Blagoy uses wrestling, but I think Blagoy is good enough to gas out Lewis, which we've seen Lewis get tired for in fights and edge out a decision win.
Yeah, interesting fight here. I've actually been really high on Ivanov. I picked him in all of his fights in the UFC, lost to JDS, but I got him right against Rothwell and Tobiasa. So I think I have a pretty good read on him. He's a solid fighter, underrated for sure. But man, I like Lewis as an underdog here, honestly. At +105, I think there's value on him. I was surprised when the line flipped. I think the odds makers had it right, opening him as the favorite. The guy has so much experience in the UFC. He's fought everyone. Yes, you're right, Cole. His wrestling's not great, and he can get knocked out himself. But I just think his KO power and just his ability to stay upright for the most part and just come back and knock guys out when he's down on the cards, I think that's super impressive. We'll see what happens. Very interesting fight. I mean, it's heavyweight MMA, so you can go either way. But I think Lewis wins. I think he can actually knock out Blagoy Ivanov or win the decision. But I really like Derek Lewis, man. I think people are underrating him. I mean, this guy, yes, the Nagano fight was garbage, but he still won that fight. That's a massive win. Beat Volkov, beat Brown, beat Nelson. He's got tons of good wins, more experience, and honestly a better resume, in my opinion, than Ivanov. Although Ivanov's a very solid fighter, I just think people are sleeping on Derek Lewis for some reason. I think he wins this fight. All right, next up, this might be my favorite fight in the card. This fight's amazing. Stephen Thompson against Vicente Luque, welterweight bout. Thompson open -135, Luque open -105. Right now we have Thompson -130, Luque +110. Who's your pick?
I like Stephen Thompson to get back in the win column. I just think his karate strike and his karate style and his striking, I think it's just going to be too much for Luque. I think it's going to be tough for Luque to get inside. We've seen Thompson just they kind of outpoint, use the kicks to keep them at range. I think he's going to do this in this fight. Luque needs to get inside, I think, and try to knock out Thompson. But I think Thompson's just a better fighter overall. He's fought better competition. He's been at the top. He arguably beat Woodley in that first fight for the title. I just like Thompson here. I think he edged out a decision win.
This is a really tough fight to call, I think. Thompson obviously is super good at like point fighting, and he's got knockout power. He's got underrated wrestling, too. He's just a really good fighter. 36 now, though, he's, I think, on a bit of a decline. And it's a tough fight. I mean, he could definitely win and outpoint Luque, maybe knock him out. But I think Luque being only 27, that's a huge advantage. And this guy, he has no momentum, Cole. He's got a 6-fight win streak. He's 10-2 in the UFC. And all of his wins, except for the Mike Perry fight, are by stoppage. This guy can knock you out. He can submit you in the ground. Again, it's a close fight, but I lean slightly towards Vicente Luque just based on the momentum. I think that's huge in MMA. This guy's on a nice win streak. And if he wins this fight, Cole, he's right there as far as getting a title shot goes. Give me Vicente Luque. I think he can win a decision or possibly knock Stephen Thompson. I know Thompson's last fight was the first knockout loss of his career, but I think that at 36, he actually might be on a bit of a decline here. Super close fight. Can go either way, but I lean slightly towards Luque as an underdog. All right. Co-main event time, Cole. Kelvin Gastelum against Darren Till. Interesting fight here. Darren Till moving up to middleweight. Opening odds had Gastelum -155, Till +115. Right now we have Gastelum -210, Till +175. Who's your pick?
I actually like the underdog in Darren Till in this fight. I know that's going to surprise you, but I think moving up to middleweight, I think that's going to be his weight class. He has a reach advantage. He's going to be bigger than Gastelum. And I think it's going to be a similar fight to what the Thompson fight was. I don't think it's going to be a very interesting fight. I think Till's going to use his reach, kind of just jab Gaslam up. I think Gaslam needs to get inside, and I think if he gets inside, I think Till's going to hurt him. He has the knockout power. I think at middleweight, it's only going to have more power. We've seen Gaslam get knocked out before. We've seen him get dropped, and I think Till will win this fight, and I think he wins by decision or a late TKO.
Okay, so this is interesting. I've always liked Calvin Gaslam. I was super high on him on the Ultimate Fighter. I think I'm like the only guy who picked him against Uriah Hall. Everyone counted him out. I picked him there. I've been picking him all his fights since, pretty much. You know, he's lost along the way a couple times, but for the most part, I think Calvin Gaslam's been an absolutely amazing fighter. Yes, he lost to Adesanya, but it was a super close fight, and there's no shame in losing Adesanya, especially in a fight of the year. Before that, beat Jocker and Bisping. The guy is fantastic. And Till, on the other hand, I think Till is super overrated, personally. I think that this guy has just not proven himself to be an elite guy, but he gets, you know, kind of considered that by a lot of people. The Thompson fight was a fight that he should have lost on the cards. He lost to Woodley. He lost to Masvidal. Surprisingly, I picked him in those fights, and he lost. He did beat Cerrone. That was a good win. So he's been losing fights that I've been picking him in, and I should be super down on him, Cole, but I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to pick Darren Till, too. I know it's stupid and crazy, but I'm going to pick Darren Till. I just kind of like this matchup for him. I don't know why, but – and again, I think he's super overrated, Cole. I think he might be the most overrated guy on the roster. I really do, but I just like this matchup against Gaslam. I just think the height, the reach, the length. I think that not cutting the weight is going to help his chin. I think he's going to be faster than Gaslam, a little bit, like I said, bigger. At this point, his back's against the wall. He has to win this fight, or else, I mean, at this point, his career's pretty much on the line. You know, he's still young enough that he could obviously bounce back, 26. But when you lose three straight fights, arguably four, that's bad for your career. Gaslam's obviously coming off a loss, too. He's going to be motivated. But, you know, Cole, he took a ton of damage in that fight with Adesanya. And I don't know. I like Till. I'm not going to overthink it too much. It's a close fight. It can go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Gaslam wins. But at plus 175, give me Darren Till as an underdog. We'll see what happens. But we're going to look like geniuses, Cole, if we get him right here. That's for sure. We're going to look like idiots if he loses. So we'll see what happens. But, yes, I'm with Cole. I like Darren Till a little bit in this fight, even though, again, I'm not super high on him, and I'm super high on Gaslam. I just – matchups make fights and everything. And this particular matchup, I do think Darren Till can outstrike Calvin Gaslam in the decision. All right, main event of the evening, five-round fight for the BMF title, Jorge Masvidal against Nate Diaz. What a fight, amazing fight. Opening odds, minus 110 apiece. Right now we have Masvidal favored, minus 160, Diaz plus 140. Who's your pick?
Man, this is such a tough fight to call. I'm surprised the odds have gone this way. I thought they'd stay around, kind of pick a odds for this fight. They're so evenly matched up. I favor Masvidal slightly, but I think the longer the fight goes on, I think it favors Diaz. Diaz's cardio and pressure, I think that's going to be huge. But I think Masvidal could get inside. I think he can land the big strikes. I don't envision this fight hitting the ground. I think it could, but I think it's going to be primarily striking. And I just favor Masvidal striking over Diaz's. But again, this is a super close fight. I think the value is on Diaz as an underdog. I think the value is on whoever is the underdog in this fight, because it could go either way. But I think Masvidal will edge out a decision win.
Yeah, great fight. Love this matchup. Two guys that are at the top of their game right now. Masvidal, he's looked amazing, being Oscar until, and then Diaz had that incredible comeback against Pettis. We both picked Pettis. I know I picked Pettis. You did too, right, in that fight? Pretty sure, yeah. So I was surprised how good he looked in that fight after a three-year layoff. But I feel like he's reinvigorated, man. I feel like that 3 years away really helped him out. He seems to be at the top of this game right now. Masvidal's amazing, don't get me wrong. But the problem with Masvidal, and throughout his career, he's lost a lot of close decisions. Look at his career. Look at his split decisions he's lost. He lost so many close fights that he should have won. I know that this version of him is a little bit more aggressive, a little better. But first off, Nate Diaz is almost impossible to knock out. He's been knocked out very, very rarely in MMA. He's almost impossible to submit. His cardio is a huge weapon. Five-round fight, I think that favors Nate. Masvidal, I think, will come out strong early. But I feel like Nate Diaz is going to be able to really get – his boxing going, and I think he actually wins this fight. I'm going to pick Nate Diaz to win a decision, man, and possibly your title shot against the winner of Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman. Super close fight, don't get me wrong, but at plus 140, I got to go with the dog because I think the odds makers had it right at minus 110 each. I think it is a pick 'em fight, and at plus 140, that's implying that Diaz wins the fight, you know, less than what I think it is, because I think it's a 50-50 fight. So I'm going to take the dog and Diaz. I think he wins this fight. Overall, Cole, just a fantastic card, man. I cannot wait for this one. It's going to be amazing. And, yeah, Saturday can't come soon enough, man. I'm glad that the whole thing with Diaz worked out. But let me ask you actually about that. I mean, what do you think? Because, like, if you look at fighters like Neil Magny and Josh Barnett, guys like that, they had to go through such an ordeal with USADA to get it cleared. But Nate Diaz took, like, what, 2 days and got cleared? What do you think about that?
I think it's kind of sketchy. UFC and USADA saying they switched the rule set like August 31st, but I didn't hear of anything of that. Like, I didn't see anything of it. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I think this is what it should be. Like, why is it taking so long? You're losing fighters pay. Like, how come you can't literally just go to them, say, pee in this cup, do whatever, blood or whatever they need to do, and get it to a lab right away and get it tested, and then you have it within a day. Like, no fighter should have to be fighting and not suspended but can't fight for 6 months because USADA is looking into something. I think it should be a lot quicker, but I think it is kind of sketchy how quick this happened. But in Diaz's interview with like ESPN, he basically said he was cleared before he sent that tweet out. He already got told he was cleared, but he just wanted to make sure in case it got out that his name was clear before the fight happened.
Yeah, it's money talks. That's what I'm gonna say about this quote. Money talks. We all know that, but it's kind of weird that a guy like Josh Barnett lost 2 years of his career for very much the same thing, and Diaz lost 2 days of really nothing. We got a question from Marcus here. You know, Marcus, I'm going to answer at the end of the show. I'm going to do the PFL preview with Cole right now. If you guys have any questions, send them in. Marcus, if you have any more, send them in right now, and we'll get them after. But I want to do PFL before we forget. So let's go to PFL, Cole. PFL week nine, 2019 week nine. It's the third playoffs. It's the last playoffs before the finale on New Year's Eve. So a solid card. Unfortunately, as always, Cole, we do not have betting lines because the PFL lines usually come out the same day as the fights, which is really stupid because there's some good fights. And PFL, I think, would get more of a handle if people actually, you know, had time to bet on them and research the odds. Okay, so let's go. Let's get to PFL. We'll start with I'm just going to use whatever Tapology has and use the bottom call and work my way up. So first fight is a light heavyweight bout between Emiliano Sordi and Siga Pesalelli. Sordi is 19-8 in his career. He's looked really good lately, coming off two straight wins over Vinny Magalhães and Bozagit Ateyev. So great. And then Pesalelli, 1-2 record, so sub-500 guy, 25 years old, super young. He has not looked good this year. He lost by ground and pound to Ronnie Marks and then lost the decision to Jordan Johnson. Sordi wins, right?
Sordi by knockout. I don't even think this is going to be close. I think it's a first round knockout.
This is the only problem with PFL is you do get mismatches like this based on guys missing weight. Like, Pesalelli shouldn't be in this, but Ronnie Marks missed weight, so he took his spot basically. This is a blowout fight. Sordi should be like minus 1,000 here. He wins by first round knockout. Next up, we got Bozagit Ateyev against Viktor Nemkov. Ateyev, he is 21-4 in his career, 40 years old. He's been around a long time. He actually fought in Pride way back in the day, so he's been around a long time. He fought Overeem in Pride in 2002, Cole. Isn't that crazy, man? Pride Cold Fury 3, which is insane. He's actually come back. He took an 11-year layoff between 2006 and 2017. He's come back to PFL. This year alone, he lost to Sordi, but he also beat Dan Spahn by knockout. And then Viktor Nemkov, and I should mention he actually has wins over Sordi and Sean O'Connell from last year, so he has some pretty good wins. Nemkov, 37, 32 years old. He's on a 3-5 win streak. This year in the playoffs, this year's season, I should say, he's beaten Rakeem Cleveland and Rashid Yusupov by decision. Who do you like here?
I like Viktor Nemkov. I think he'd edge out a decision. I think he's just the youth. I think Ateyev, the age is going to catch up at some point, and yeah. Nemkov's looked good so far this season in PFL. Obviously, ADF's coming off that knockout loss. You don't know how the chin's going to look. So I think Nemkov will win this fight.
Yeah, I have to lean towards Nemkov too, just based on the age. Like, you can't bet on a 4-year-old guy here in Ateyev. Although he's looked pretty good and has a lot of experience, he's just 4 years old. All right, next up, another light heavyweight bout, Maxime Grisham against Jordan Johnson. Grisham, 37-1. He's 35 years old. He's on a 8-fight unbeaten streak. In this year's playoffs, he's beaten Mikhail Mok Nakdin via knockout and Jordan Johnson by decision. Jordan Johnson is 11-1. He's 30 years old. He is 1-1 this year. He lost to Grisham, beat Pesalelli. It's a rematch. This is what happens in PFL based on the point system. I like Grisham again. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Grisham again here. I think Johnson's – I'm surprised he left the UFC. He was undefeated, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I just like – they fought a couple months ago. I don't think anything's going to change in a couple months.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, at some point, in some situations, we have seen kind of fights change between the rematches. But in this case, I just don't see Johnson having anything different. He's been disappointing, in my opinion, in PFL. I have been too impressed with him. All right, next up, last light heavyweight bout, Rashid Yusupov against Vinny Magalhães. Yusupov is 11-2. He's 27 years old. In this year's playoffs, he beat Mikhail Mokhtanyan and lost to Viktor Nemkov. Vinny Magalhães, 19-11, 35 years old. Vinny is 1-1 this year. He lost to Sorty and then beat Joaquin Cleveland by armbar. He went to the finals last year and lost to Sean O'Connell in the finale. Who do you like in this one?
I like Magalhães. I think he can submit Yusupov, but I don't know. It's a close fight. I think if Yusupov can keep it standing, I think he has a shot to knock out Vinny Magalhães, but I don't know. It's a super close fight. I think it's one of the close fights on the card, but I like Magalhães by submission.
Yeah, I guess you guys lean towards Magalhães just based on the experience, but I don't know. At this point, Vinny's 35 and Yusupov's pretty young. I guess I lean slightly towards Magalhães, but it's a very, very close fight. I'm curious to see the odds on this one. Yusupov, if he's a dog, he could have some value. Let's go to the heavyweight division. Kelvin Tiller against Ali Essayev. Tiller is 11-3 in his career. He is 29 years old, actually. And this year, he beat Mohamed Darice by submission, then lost to Denis Goltsov by Ezekiel choke. And then Ali Essayev, 6-0, 35 years old. In this year's playoffs, he beat Valdrin Istefri and Carl Sumentafa by decision. Who do you like here?
I like ACF here. He's good at winning decisions. I think he'll grind out a decision win over Kelvin Tiller. I think he could take his fight down to the ground, but I don't know. I just think he's the better fighter overall, and I just think he'll let you have a decision win.
Yeah, you're probably right about that one. Although, I think Tiller's a little bit underrated, personally. All right, next up, another heavyweight bout, Mohamed Darice against Jared Rochal. Darice, 8-1, 31 years old. Lost to Tiller and then beat Valdrin Istrefi by knockout this year, and then Jared Rochal, the big show, 18-7, 33 years old. This year, he lost to Denis Goltsov by knockout, and Satoshi Ishii beat by decision. Who do you like here?
I just haven't been impressed with Jared Rochal at all in PFL. I like Mohamed Darice here. I think he can possibly knock out Rochal. I think, but in heavyweight, anything can happen, but I like Darice here.
Yeah, I'm not high on Rochal either, but I actually think the wrestling could be the difference here. I'll take Rochal by decision. I think he uses wrestling, but I'm not high on this guy at all. Next up, another heavyweight belt, Denis Goltsov against Satoshi Ishii. Goltsov is 24-5. He is 29 years old. He's on a 5-fight win streak at the moment. He beat Jared Rochal and Kelvin Tiller both by stoppage. He's got quite a bit of experience in his career. He's beating guys like Mike Kyle, John Hawk, James McSweeney, Chase Gormley, Paul Bentello, Brett Rogers, Roy Booten. He's got a lot of experience. Konstantin Arokin as well. Lost to Alexander Volkov. This guy's been around a long time. He's had a lot of experience. And Ishii also has a lot of experience. 22-9-1 record, 32 years old. A little younger than I expected, actually. This year, he's beaten he's actually fought five times this year. He beat Rodrigo Carlos, Cali Gibran de Oliveira, Fernando Rodriguez Jr., and Zeke Tooney Willie, and then lost to Jared Rochal. This guy had a lot of experience as well. He's beaten a lot of good fighters in his career, but he's lost a lot as well. Who do you like in this one?
I like Denis Goltsov. I think he can finish Ishii. I think at some point, that many fights, the damage you take at heavyweight, I think it's going to come back and haunt you. I think his wrestling was kind of exposed against Rochal. He doesn't have good wrestling defense. That was not a good fight, but I like Goltsov to win.
Yeah, I'm with you on Goltsov. In the last fight of the night, a heavyweight bout, which is weird because you think it would be a light heavyweight fight because both guys have fought in lower weight classes, but Alex Nicholson against Franz Marbroso. Nicholson, 14-8, 29 years old. He's 1-1 this year. Lost the decision to Franz Marbroso and then beat Zeke Tooney Willie by knockout. And Franz Marbroso, 24-7-1, 39 years old. He is actually on a 6-fight unbeaten streak. He beat Alex Nicholson and Ben Edwards by decision this year. Is this another fight where the rematch goes the same way?
I think so. I still like Barroso here. I think he edged out another decision win.
Yeah, and again, you know, he actually had a nice run last year. He kind of got screwed by the whole draw thing. I think he could have went to the finals, but, you know, he lost the draw. All right, let's answer Marcus's question, then we'll get to some of the stuff from last week. Marcus says, with 63,000 votes on Ariel's poll, Gaethje got 60% with Cerrone getting 33% and Frankie getting 7% for fighting Connor on January 18th. Who do you think the UFC will pick? Who do you prefer? Okay, so I think those two different questions there. I think who do I think the UFC will pick? I think they'll pick Cerrone. I think it makes a lot of sense. Cerrone coming off a loss, coming off two losses, still a big name, bigger name just Gaethje, and a much more competitive fight than Frankie Edgar. I think that Frankie Edgar fight, there's no chance that happens. Dana White's made that clear. Cerrone is still a great fighter, don't get me wrong, but I think at this point he's very beatable. Connor can knock him out. I think Connor wants a fight that's not as risky as Gaethje, who would be my pick to fight him. I would like to see Gaethje fight Connor. I think that'd be a great fight. But Cole, if I'm the UFC, you got to think from a business point of view, and you want Connor to get a win. And I think he has a much better chance of beating Cowboy than he does Gaethje. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, I think the UFC would pick Cerrone because I think Connor, even if he beats Gaethje, I think Connor's going to take a lot of damage. I don't think he's going to look that good. I think against Cerrone, he can knock him out, get a finish, and all the hype will be, oh, Connor's back. He's motivated again. Get him back to the title shot. And if, say, Gaethje knocks him out, I think that's it for Connor. I don't think he'll fight again. Two-fight losing streak. He's way down the lightweight rankings. So I would like to see the Gaethje fight, but I think the UFC does Cerrone McGregor.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Cole. All right, let's talk a little bit about UFC Singapore. Again, I broke down this card yesterday in full, so go back to yesterday's show and watch the recap show, but we'll talk a little bit about it. Main event, the evening, Damian Maia defeats Ben Askren via third-round submission. Great fight, fight of the night, Cole. We both said it'd be a good fight. It was fight of the night. For Damian Maia, okay, we'll talk about both guys here. Damian Maia, he's actually on a 3-fight win streak. He is 41 now, so he's super old. He says he has 2 fights left in his career. He wants to fight Diego Sanchez next. There is a story out there that Diego Sanchez may not be under contract with the UFC anymore. I'm not going to completely buy that he's being released or anything like that. I think that they'll figure out. He probably just ended his deal and he hasn't figured out a new contract yet. I'm not sure if Diego's all completely up there anymore, to be completely honest with you. I don't know if he knows this whole contractual situation as much as he probably should. But yeah, I think they'll figure out a way to do the Sanchez-Maia fight. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that fight happens. I think both guys want it. I think Maia, there's no way Maia has a run to a title shot. He lost to the top three guys and lost badly. I think he's just in it. 2 more fights. I think he's just going to want to do fights that he wants to fight. Like, I think Askren was a fight he wanted to test out his grappling. Sanchez is a guy, they've both been kind of legends of the welterweight division for a while, legends of the sport for a while, and I think that's just a fight he wants. I think his final 2 fights are just going to be like that. Like, older guys that he just wants to fight. Some of the ones like Pettis did with like Thompson and Diaz, he just wants to have fun fights now.
I'm with you on that one. And for Ben Askren, he said yesterday he's considering retirement. You think he retires, Cole, or do you think he's just posturing? What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's like his whole thing was he already retired once before, so I don't think retiring is out the window. And the whole entire thing was he just wanted to try to prove he was the best in the world, and I don't think he can do that anymore. So why take more damage if you don't need to? He has a lot of stuff. He coaches his own thing. He coaches his own wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires, but I think he'll have one more fight, at least one more.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, I'm sure he does pretty well with the coaching stuff and all the other business operations he has, but, I mean, where else can you make $50,000 for 50 minutes and then plus your purse? He probably made well over $100,000 for this fight, you know, if not $150,000. So I think with the contractual situation, I think he probably does have 1 fight left in his deal. Usually guys sign 4 fight deals. So I'm assuming he has 1 more. I think he fights 1 more time personally, but if he loses that, he'll be done. I'm not considering him as a write-off just yet. I think, you know, he's lost to 2 good guys in Masvidal. I don't think he sucks. What do you think all these fans now saying he was overrated this whole time and he sucks? I feel like he just came to the UFC too late, Cole. 35 years old now. I think 5 years ago when he was beating Korshkov and he would have been a better chance for the win title. What do you think?
Yeah, when he was talking to the UFC at first, after the Bellator run, before he went to one, that was the perfect time for him to go to the UFC. That's when he was at kind of the peak of his career, right at the best. That was when he was coming off wins over Lehman, Korshkov, like you said, like, has a win over Lyman Good and Bellator. That's when a lot of people wanted to see him. And then he had like the, 3-4 years in one where he kind of didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that, and then he wasn't fighting that often. He had the retired, had the layoff, then to get thrown right into Lawler, Masvidal, and Maia. That's a tough stretch for anybody.
I know, it's tough. It's not like he had time to build himself up. And you can't say that this guy sucks just because he lost to 2 of the top 10 guys in the world.
And the Masvidal fight, like, who knows how that fight goes? Like, he still might be a better fighter than Masvidal.
Yeah, we never got to see that fight play out. He got knocked out, but it doesn't prove that he wouldn't win a rematch if they did fight again. The fight didn't end in 5 seconds. What else stood out to you here? How about this guy, Ciryl Gane? I mean, what an important performance. Okay, do you think he's going to be a future champion heavyweight?
I think he has all the skill set. I think a lot of people entering the UFC, even watching him in TKO, I think a lot of people just thought, oh, he's a striker. But he has shown off his ground game in the last 2 fights. I think that's huge. I think he's so well-rounded. And to have a good ground game in heavyweight division is so huge. Like, you see what Curtis Blaydes does to guys just using his wrestling. I think that's going to be huge for Gane. And he has the power and the striking. If he wants to keep it on the feet, I think he can have success on the feet as well.
Yeah, you don't see heel hooks at heavyweight very often. Listen, the guy he beat, Dontell Mace, is barely UFC caliber. Like, he might be one of the lower ranked guys in that division, but the way he beat him was impressive. And to me, I think he beats a lot of the guys actually in the top 15 right now. Like, he could beat the top 15 guys, like between the 10 and 15 number easily. Top 5 guys are a little bit of a different sell, but even if you've got a guy like Overeem, I think he'd be competitive in that kind of a fight personally. Just some other performances in the card. Sergey Pavlich gets another knockout here against Maurice Green. Pavlich is young, Cole. He's only 27, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think this guy can go on a run in heavyweight as well?
I think he could. I think the overnight fight was kind of – I think making your UFC debut is already hard enough, and then to fight a top 10 guy – he might have been top five that time over. Yeah. To fight Overeem then, that was so tough. I think that was a dumb match. I think they should have gave him like a lower ranked guy, because I think he has a shot to be a top three, top five guy in the heavyweight division for sure.
Yeah, Overeem beat the crap out of him. I loved Overeem in that fight. He was an underdog last year. Everyone was on Pavlich, but I liked Overeem then. He looked great. I think Overeem was a little underrated at times, personally. People just, you know, they think he's going to KO in every fight, but if he does get knocked out, he's a good chance to win. Just some other fights in the card here, Cole. Michael Johnson loses the decision to Stevie Ray. Big upset there. Johnson, he is 2-4 in his last six, 2-5 in his last seven, actually. You think he gets cut?
I don't know. He hasn't been putting on good fights, really. Like, that's the thing. I think they might give him one more, but this is a fight that was so easy for him to win. Like, Stevie Ray, I don't think is anywhere near a top 20 lightweight at all. Like, we saw him get knocked out in his last fight. I think this is a fight Johnson should have knocked out Ray, but he lost the fight for himself. That third round, he just gave up, it seemed like.
Yep. No, I'm with you on that one. Darius looked good. You had that one there. Loma Lukbunmi, you think she has a potential at 115? She's only 23 years old.
From everything in that fight, she looked really good. I'd like to see her against a girl that's coming off a win and like a known name in the UFC, but that was a good win for her, and I think it showed a lot that her striking, the Thai striking, the Muay Thai clinch that she had, I think it's really impressive. I think she could go pretty far.
Well, this guy, Jeff Hughes, he's been disappointing as hell in the UFC. I actually didn't catch this fight, Cole. Tell me about this matchup with Pessoa. How did Pessoa win this fight? I didn't watch it.
It was terrible. They didn't really do a whole lot. Hughes got dropped at one point, which I was shocked by. I thought Hughes had the striking advantage.
Yeah.
I think this is it for Jeff Hughes in the UFC. He's 0-2 in the 1-0 contest. He hasn't really put on the exciting fights. Maurice Green fight wasn't that good. This fight wasn't good. Todd Duffy was an okay fight. But
it was fun, yeah.
But the two losses, they're pretty boring fights. I think this could be it for him. I think he might get one more. Again, it's just he's Stipe's guy that they might give him one more. But it was not a good fight. Pessoa won the striking, won the ground game. It was just not a good performance from Hughes at all.
Yeah, I think that's all I want to talk about this card. It was there were some good fights, Cole, but overall, it doesn't even hold a candle to what we're going to see this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about Bellator. I'm going to pull up Bellator. We'll go to Bellator 230. We'll do 231 first just because it was the first card there. So, Frank Mir and Roy Nelson too. I mean, do you think these guys should be fighting again? I know Frank Mir won, but do you really want to see him fight again?
No, I didn't want to see either of them fight again. It was such a bad fight as well.
Yeah, it was terrible. And Roy Nelson, 43 years old, Cole, you think that's it for him?
I hope so. Like, he hasn't shown anything that impressive in his last couple of fights. He's been knocked out. He's put on bad performances. I think that could be a firm in Bellator. I think he might get released in Bellator, and I don't really know if anyone else would sign him at this point. Yeah,
you know, I think actually he could do well in Rising. I think that the Japanese fans would like him in his look with the big belly and stuff, but with the they like their freak show fights. I know he's not really a freak show fight, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, Josh Barnett needs a fight. I think you could do the rematch between Josh Barnett and Roy Nelson. Possibly that could be actually be a decent fight. Josh Barnett, I feel bad for him, by the way, because he was supposed to fight on this Rising card, and Scott Coker said he's not fighting in the card now because they can't find an opponent for Rising. So Barnett was signed, I think, like, what, earlier this year? He hasn't fought yet, Cole. I don't know when he's going to fight, but he hasn't fought in a long time, and he needs to fight again soon. But I think, you know, if they want to keep him around, Barnett versus Roy Nelson's a fight I personally wouldn't mind watching, although, like, at this point, I don't really want to watch Roy Nelson and Frank Mir fight again. And let's be fair, they did warn us the fight would be bad. Frank Mir said, this fight's going to suck, guys. I don't want to fight Roy Nelson. Roy doesn't want to fight me. Bellator made them fight. And the worst part was, called they made it a main event. My God. Imagine you bought tickets for that. Ugh. Phil Davis looked great against Carl Albrechtsen. You think he's going to get another title shot? Where do you think he is in the division? I mean, he's lost twice to Ryan Bader, so where do you think he is?
It's hard to give him another third fight against Ryan Bader. He didn't look good in any of them. I think, honestly, if you're not sending Bader to fight Yuri Prochazka, I think you could send Phil Davis's belt or try to fight for the Rizin belt.
Yeah, you could do that. That'd be interesting. Ed Ruth against Jason Jackson. Great fight. One of the better fights in the card. Who'd you think won the fight?
I had Ed Ruth personally. I think he won. I had him 29-28, I think.
You can't remember.
I can't remember what rounds it was, but I think the third round was the round where people thought Jax won because he dropped Ruth, but yeah. That was 10 seconds he won, and then Ruth won 4 minutes and 50 seconds, where it was like, I outvalue him winning the 4 minutes and 50 seconds and getting dropped once. I think that's why I scored it for Ruth, but it could win either way. But Jackson's stock goes way up from this fight anyways.
I told you he's good, Cole. He's not bad, man. And close fight. Alara Joanne defeats Beck Rongs by submission. Beck Rongs 7-9 now in MMA. You think she's going to stick to the bare knuckle thing?
She should have just stayed in bare knuckle. She's not a good MMA fighter. I don't know why I picked her. The odds were so off. I forgot how bad Beck Rollins is on the ground. And, like, I don't know. I just think you have to match her up if you're Bellator and you want to get your investment on her. You have to match her up against a striker. Anyone that's half decent on the ground is just going to take her down and submit her.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And Jake Hager and Anthony Garrett, no contest. Hager need him in the groin. But, you know, Hager was having trouble getting this guy down, Cole. And we only saw 2 minutes. I wasn't too impressed with Hager in this fight. Any takeaways from the fight?
He didn't look that good at all, and I think he could have had an argument for a DQ there because that was like the third or fourth groin strike.
I'm with you. I don't know why it wasn't a DQ. I think they just want to protect this guy's record because, to me, he had multiple warnings not to knee him in the groin. It was a clear-cut groin shot. It wasn't an accident. He was trying to throw the knee. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, you know, Greg Hardy gets DQ'd for kneeing Alan Crowder, and Dan Berliard was the ref for that fight. But why wasn't this a DQ too? I think they're just protecting this guy's record. I wasn't too impressed with him from what I saw. Anything else in that card you want to talk about? That guy Steve Mowry won, Connor Dixon won, John Manley won. Anything else you want to mention there?
Just Mando Nalo lost. It was a leg injury. It was pretty gross. I don't know. It was just like an ankle folded over. But
yeah,
he looked good in that fight until then. But, I mean, it sucks that's his first loss is from an injury.
That's MMA for you. And what about the porn star, Rebecca Brigman, a.k.a. Orion Star? Like, what were they thinking bringing her in Bellator, man? She got smashed, too.
Yeah, it was not a good fight at all. And I don't know. Hopefully, it was just one of those local fighters that would fight on Bellator, and she's not actually part of Bellator's roster because she's not a good fighter.
I agree with that. All right, let's do Bellator 232 now. Main event of the evening, Douglas Lima defeats Rory McDonald in the rematch. Did you pick Rory in this fight?
I did.
Oh, man. He looked terrible. You know, I think Lima looked okay. I don't think it was a good fight at all, by the way. I think this was a really disappointing fight. Do you think Rory's done?
I think he could be. Everyone talks about, run it back for Trilogy. I don't want to see Trilogy at all. After that second fight, Lima's the better fighter. Rory, until he gets over this, like, I don't want to hurt anyone thing. He hasn't been a good fighter in the past, like, three, four fights.
Yeah.
It hasn't been impressive at all, and I don't know. I thought Lima won every single round. I think it was domination.
Yeah, I think you can give Rory the first round, but other than that, Lima won. But you know, the problem with this fight is you had $1 million on the line, and it felt like a sparring match, Cole. It didn't feel like a fight to me. I don't know. Like, you know, Lima got the job done. I don't think you can blame him, but for McDonald, he just was very content to stay on the outside point fighting and try to push him against the fence. Took no risks at all. And like you said, he's got this thing where he doesn't want to hurt people and doesn't want to get hurt himself. The Lawler fight changed him, but you know, not for the better, that's for sure. Terrible fight, Cole. I just wasn't into this fight at all. Now, one fight I loved, Paul Daly knocks out Saad Awad by knockout. He wants a title shot. Scott Coker is saying Lorenz Larkin is going to get the next title shot. You think they're making the right call of Larkin, or would you rather see Daly fight? They're both rematches, I should mention.
It's close. Obviously, Larkin has that win over Koreshkov. I think Larkin's going to Japan, and Coker said as long as he wins, he gets a title shot. If he loses, I think Daly's the guy that's going to get the Lima fight. But honestly, I know it might not be the best, but a fight I want to see, like, give me a year or two for it to happen, is Daly MVP 2, because that first fight sucked. I think it'd be a lot better. But I think Daly's kind of fought everyone in Bellator. Like, he's been around for so long that most fights are going to be a rematch for him. I think maybe you throw him Koreshkov, you see what happens there. Winner that possibly gets Lima, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I think Larkin's kind of that right guy right now.
Yeah. Patrick Mix improves his 12-0 with a submission win. Title shot next for him?
I think he has to be up there. I think if Juan Archuleta comes back to bantamweight and Horiguchi's going to set out, I think he can match them up, see what happens. I think Mix is really good. I think he could give Horiguchi a good run, but bantamweight's wide open with Caldwell gone and, like, no longer the champion at 45 and Horiguchi only fighting once a year. I think Mix could be one win away or could get a title shot next.
Yeah, a couple other fights here. Manny Muro wins a split decision over Nick Newell. He was a plus 500 underdog. What did you think of those odds, Cole? Nick Newell minus 700. I don't think he should be minus 700 against anyone.
No, I don't think so either. And I think this was Really disappointing fight. I think Bellator set this up for Nick Newell to win and look good in. He almost did in the first round. He almost finished Moto, and then he just second and third round, he just got out wrestled and kind of held down. It was not a good performance by Newell.
The Alex Munoz fight, the contender series, definitely an issue with him. He is dangerous with his submissions, but at the end of the day, Cole, he's at a disadvantage when he fights, you know? And I love Nick Newell. I think he's a great fighter. I really do. And I think he's, an inspiration for disabled athletes. I shouldn't say disabled athletes, handicapped athletes. But at the end of the day, Cole, he doesn't have the full use of two arms. And that's going to hurt you at a high level of sport. You know, it's nothing against Nick. It's not his fault. And he does the best with what he has. And the fact he's got this far is amazing. But I feel like, we've seen kind of he has a ceiling in the sport. And, losing this fight, I think, kind of shows that. Although he'll get another fight. Scott Corber says they really like him. They want to keep him around. They'll give him another fight. Ferguson Jr., Craig Campbell, no contest. What do you think of them overturning the fight?
I thought it should have been overturned from the get-go. Those are so illegal. They were straight to the back of the head. That's what dropped them and finished them. Like, I think they were – it wasn't even, like, close where you could make the argument, like, oh, they were kind of just hitting. Like, they were straight to the back of the head, but
– yep. I'm with you on that one. A couple other fights here. Lance Gibson gets a knockout first round. Devin Powell with a submission. And this guy got choked out cold, and he tried to attack the referee afterwards. I thought it was hilarious. And this guy, Dan Cormier, the Hamburglar. I mean, one of the best nicknames in MMA, right? And it's just funny how his nickname is the Hamburglar, and he's little Daniel Cormier. That's pretty funny. But overall, some decent fights, Cole. But that main event, I personally wasn't a fan of the main event. I didn't think it turned out to be a good fight. I thought it'd be a great fight. Wasn't as good as their first fight. We got just a couple minutes left here. Let's answer these two questions from Marcus. He says, if you could book Ben Askren in the UFC, would you pick and why? I think Ben should fight an in-ranked welterweight. Mike Perry versus Ben Askren is my pick. I want to see Ben versus someone who can sell a fight. I mean, that's a fun fight. I feel like Ben would probably take down Mike Perry and wrestle him, but who knows, right? You like that fight? Is there something else you were thinking about?
I like Ben Askren, Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns been calling that fight.
I like that one too. That Gilbert's been calling him out. By the way, Gilbert Burns, I mean, you got to talk about like guys that are just really becoming fan favorites. Every time someone pulls out a fight, he's like, I want to fight him. Let me fight him.
Doesn't matter what weight class. This guy will go any weight class.
He said, F the weight. Remember, Francis Ngannou pulled out of that fight, or he's looking for an opponent, and Gilbert's like, I want to fight him. But yeah, I think the Mike Perry fight would be interesting. Cole makes a good point with selling a fight. That's an interesting one. I think the Lawler rematch, I would be interested in that. Lawler doesn't have an opponent right now for UFC 245. Maybe Ben could get back in the cage quickly. Maybe that's what he needs to get back in there quickly. Looking at some other fights, maybe Michael Chiesa would be an interesting fight against Ben Askren. That would be a fun one. Some of those grapplers. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I feel like there's so many good fights, though, for Ben. I think he does fight one more time, personally, the more I think about it. And one last question here before we get out of here, Cole. Do you think Scott Coker dropped the ball with Rory? I think Coker should never book Rory versus Gegard. It was an unnecessary stupid fight that killed one of their remarkable champs. I think Rory was on the decline before that, Marcus, to be honest with you. Those Robbie Lawler fights really hurt him. The second one especially, he was took a lot of damage there. The Musasi fight, he got beaten down badly to a pulp. But I feel like he was on the decline before that, Cole. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was stupid timing too, because it was on the same card Lima Koresh got fought in the opening round of the Welterweight Grand Prix. It was just stupid timing for them to do that fight, and I think But yeah, I agree with you. I think McDonald was already on the decline. I think that fight just kind of cemented himself even more that he didn't want to hurt anyone anymore. He didn't really want to do this.
All right. So that's it for today's show, guys. Thanks again for tuning in. Cole, thanks for joining me, man. Go ahead, plug everything that you've been doing this week.
Twitter at ColeSheldon91. This week, I have Kevin Lee, Blago Ivanov, Lyman Good on BJ Penn, fighter picks for Till Gaslam, Mazal Diaz. Sure Dog, I talked to Chance Rencounter, Edmund Shabazian. Then any other news stuff is always on my Twitter.
All right, cool. Sweet. You guys can check me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. I'm at MMAoddsBreaker.com and my BJPen.com and I'm at MMARings.net. This podcast is available every day from Monday to Friday, MMAoddsBreaker.com and our YouTube channel. It's also available at Spotify, SoundCloud, and now it's available on iTunes. Please go and subscribe to the podcast. Tune in every day. I do, like I said, Monday to Friday, and then I get Cole to join me on Tuesdays to break down the UFC card. We do have a card next week we'll talk about as well. I believe the Russia card, if I'm mistaken, Cole. Yeah. That's next week. So we'll be back next week. There's only actually three cards in November. There's the one in Brazil as well, but we'll be doing a few podcasts. Christmas time is coming up kind of shortly, and then the UFC schedule comes down. Then I'm sure 2020 is going to be absolutely insane as well. So definitely go and check me on all those shows, guys. And I should mention I have a small preview coming out for The Athletic. They got in touch with me and they wanted me to do a small preview for Diaz as well. So I'll be included with some other the top MMA prognosticators on their preview article. So definitely check that out, hopefully later in the week. All right, guys, thanks again for tuning in today to the podcast. You can check out my earlier podcast, actually. I did it at 10 o'clock this morning, breaking down the latest news in MMA. And then this podcast, we did the breakdown for UFC 244 and PFL. Cole, thanks again for joining me. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m., breaking down the latest in the world of MMA. Have a good day. Bye.